If you've ever had an argument over with your teenager or your young kid over how much time they spend playing video games, well, you may be about to lose that argument the next time it comes around. That's because online gamers ended up solving a scientific puzzle that stumped medical researchers for nearly a decade, and it took the gamers 10 days. For years, scientists have been trying to determine the structure of an AIDS-like virus that's found in rhesus monkeys. They figured if they could determine the structure of the virus, they might be able to design a drug that would stop it. But research is expensive. Sometimes it's slow and painstaking, and there's a limited number of people who are qualified to carry it out. On the other hand, games can be played by anyone with a computer, and it turns out millions of humans are willing to devote hours and hours of intensely focused concentration to games without getting paid. We're joined now by Dr. Faraz Khatib, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Seth Cooper is with us as well, a University of Washington, Dr. Seth Cooper, a computer scientist who designed this game called Fold It. Good morning to you, too.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
So, Dr. Khatib, let me ask you first, you know, this seems to be a relatively, I was trying to understand this puzzle that researchers were working on for nearly 10 years, and I'll try to explain it the way I read about it. These are multicolored, curled-up little tinker toys, the way they appear in this game. There's an incredible, almost limitless number of ways they can be folded, and the challenge of this game is to fold them and then unfold them and keep doing that until you find the structure of this particular enzyme. So why couldn't you get a supercomputer to do that for you?
That's a very good question. The main problem is that proteins have so many different degrees of freedom that you could use all the supercomputers on Earth and you wouldn't be able to sample all the different possible conformations of even a single protein.
So how are these gamers able to do it then?
Well, that's what's remarkable. They've been able to use their human intuition and pattern recognition and puzzle-solving skills to be able to actually limit the search space that they have to go through and basically guide the computer game that they're using, because they're actually using a computer algorithm that was developed in our lab to model how proteins fold. And what they're doing is they're actually guiding the search intelligently, as opposed to a computer that might get stuck, you know,
well,
very often.
I got to wonder what were your reaction was when they put this to these gamers and 10 days later they came back with a solution.
It was simply remarkable. Our colleagues that have been working on this for literally over 10 years trying to solve this problem, they were so happy when we told them about this that they insisted that we open champagne bottles over Skype simultaneously because they're in Poland.
Well, Dr. Seth Cooper, you actually designed this game. Are you an online gamer yourself?
Yeah, I've been a gamer, you know, pretty much since I was a kid. So. For me, the opportunity to be involved in this project and make a game that can, you know, help with these really difficult kinds of scientific problems and have some kind of real impact was a really exciting project for me.
You know, and what's surprising about this game is that it's almost like, you know, the MMORPGs, the massively multiplayer online role-playing games. This game you've designed also uses Skype. It also gets people to join into groups to work on the problem as a group that's sitting there talking over the internet.
Right. The sort of primary goal of the players in Folded is to get a high score by folding up the protein that they're presented with as well as possible. But the players are also able to form groups where they can actually work together and share sort of their progress that they've made so far back and forth with each other. And then the other players in their group can actually pick up where they leave off. And in this case, it was actually one of the groups all working together and trading their solutions back and forth, called the Folded Contenders group, that was able to come up with the solution. And in this case, they actually ended up as authors on the scientific publication that we wrote about this particular outcome.
We're talking with Dr. Seth Cooper, a University of Washington computer scientist who designed this game, Fold It, which allows people to design and essentially guess at the structure of enzymes. And in this particular case, finding the structure of an enzyme for a virus that is associated with AIDS in rhesus monkeys. Where do you think the scientific power of a device like this comes from? Is it from the group activity that's enabled by this game, Dr. Cooper, or is it more attracting that aficionado, that genius who's the high scorer?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think that really where the sort of core of the power of this kind of approach comes from is the fact that what we've been able to do is take something that humans are good at, which is the spatial reasoning and thinking about how the pieces of the protein fit together, and take what the computers are good at, which in this case is the number crunching and some of the finer levels of optimization, figuring out exactly where each of the atoms goes, and through the game framework, be able to combine what the people are good at and what the computers are good at in such a way that both can do what they're best at, and we can use this approach to try to solve problems that neither humans nor computers were able to solve alone before.
So, Dr. Faraz Khatib, a researcher at the University of Washington's biochemistry lab, what do you now do with this information? If they've solved the structure of this virus, is that like a huge breakthrough, or is this a little step in your research?
It is definitely a small step in the right direction. But the hope is that by having such a high resolution solution to this protein and being able to know exactly the way it folds and what it looks like, we'll be able to hopefully design better antiretroviral drugs.
And do you already have ideas on the next problem that you want to put before these gamers?
Oh, definitely. We're going the next step and actually having them design novel proteins and actually come up with proteins that don't exist in nature. And that's even a much more complex problem, because not only do you have to fold it correctly, but you then have to design each of the 20 amino acids at each position. So that it's an even more difficult problem.
And Dr. Seth Cooper, who designed this game, Fold It, do you imagine at some point attracting the number of gamers to your games that play, say, World of Warcraft or Call of Duty?
Yeah, that would be great. I think, you know, the more people that you have looking at these problems and working on these problems, the more likely you are to have someone who or a team of people who are able to have the insight to have this kind of discovery that could be useful for science. And what we've seen in a lot of our demographic surveys of the game is that, you know, a lot of the players and many of the top players aren't, you know, experts in biochemistry or have any particular biochemistry training or background. So it's really possible, I think, for anyone to sort of try to get started in playing this game.
It's a crazy idea, though. 30,000 gamers on a patent if you use Foldit to design a drug. That's going to make some lawyer crazy. Not bad.
Dr. Seth Cooper is a University of Washington computer scientist, the lead designer and developer of this game called Foldit. And Dr. Faraz Khatib, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Washington. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Post your thoughts on this and everything we're talking about today. Log on to our website, takeaway.org. We think of it as our massively multiplayer game of the news every morning. We want to get your take on one of the big stories of the week. The execution of Troy Davis took place last night under a cloud of protest over testimony that convicted him and recanted testimony since his trial. Has the Troy Davis case changed your opinion on the death penalty? Tell us your idea at 8778-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, WKKF.org. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.